Lecture 2, The Foundations of American English.
May 1607. Three ships, the Godspeed, the Susan Constant, and the Discovery, land at Jamestown Island in the Chesapeake Bay. Their passengers? Members of an expeditionary force sent by the Virginia Company of London. Their mission? To establish a permanent English-speaking settlement in the Americas. Mission accomplished. The English language is planted in new soil. But what sort of language was it? Let's see. Early 1600s. That's when Shakespeare was writing and performing his plays. So the early English colonists brought Shakespearean English with them. So does this mean that they sounded like the classic Shakespearean actors of stage and screen, say Richard Burton or Sir Laurence Olivier? And that over time American English diverged from these high standards, some would say devolved, and that's why today's American English sounds so different from proper British English? Actually, that's not the story at all. A lot has happened to the English language in both England and America since Shakespeare's day. In fact, in some ways, today's Americans sound more like Shakespeare would have sounded than today's Brits. Experts on the history of English have pieced together the pronunciation systems of Elizabethan English. So thanks to them, we can get a taste of what Shakespearean English really would have sounded like back in Shakespeare's day. You can learn about a fascinating project to bring original pronunciations to Shakespeare's stage by consulting works by linguist David Crystal or simply searching for Shakespeare Original Pronunciation on YouTube. Let me see if I can give you a sense of how Shakespeare's English might have sounded by reading a passage from Henry V. Oh, for muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention, a kingdom for a stage, princes to act, and monarchs to behold the swelling sain. Then should the warlike Airy, like himself, assume the port of Mars, and at his ales, lashed in like hounds, should famine, sword, and fire croach for employment. Sounds pretty different from contemporary American English, doesn't it? Among other things, you can hear the difference between faya and fire, invention and invention, and heaven and even. Now, Americans nowadays don't go around saying invention and even, but we do say fire, not faya. And there are other linguistic usages that today's Americans share with Shakespeare. For example, pronunciations like path and laugh, not poth and loth, and word choices like fall for autumn and mad for angry, not crazy. So American English started out as British English, but a very different sort of British English than what we're used to today. It's also important to bear in mind that just as languages change over time, they vary across space. And so the first English-speaking settlers in America didn't just bring English with them. They brought English regional dialects. And these British English dialects are the first ingredient in the formation of American English dialects in its earliest formative years, in what we can think of as its foundation stage. Linguist Edgar Schneider has studied the historical development of a variety of English dialects around the world, like Australian English, Indian English, and American English. He found that these dialects typically pass through similar stages of development, despite the very different end results. This is because English is shaped by the same types of factors whenever it's transported from a country where it's been a long-standing language into a new land. These factors are both linguistic and contextual. They have to do with matters of language and dialect contact and with natural forces that drive languages to change. At the same time, languages and dialects are shaped by socio-political situations and, very importantly, by attitude and identity. How we speak is very much a product of who we are, who we perceive ourselves to be, and who we want to be, and how we feel about ourselves and about other people who don't speak, act, or think the way we do. Let's take a minute and outline Schneider's five stages of New English dialect formation. The stages are distinct, but they can't always be neatly separated, and it can sometimes be hard to pinpoint exact chronologies. This is especially the case in a big country like America, where English didn't reach the entire territory all at once, but instead spread across the land in different phases, at different time periods. We'll use these stages as a rough guiding principle in this lecture series, but again, we have to bear in mind that there won't always be neat dividing lines or specific calendar dates.